Good afternoon. We were interested in looking at alternative weed management strategies, which incorporated soil organic matter and other ecosystem service benefits in small-scale agriculture, particularly for market farmers and urban farms. So traditional weed management strategies can have potentially deleterious effects on long-term soil health. Herbicides harm non-target organisms, beneficial insects, adjoining ecosystems, as well as having effects on human consumers. They're expensive, and they've been leading to resistant weeds. Whereas mechanical tillage, which is heavily relied upon by many organic vegetable farmers, disrupts the soil structure, leading to compaction and erosion. It disrupts the drainage and absorption of water and disturbs soil ecology, disrupting earthworm habitats and mycorrhizal fungal networks. It also speeds up the breakdown of organic matter. We were experimenting with a cover crop-based reduced tillage. There's been much research and successes with organic new-till, no-till, and related systems of cover crop-based reduced tillage, particularly with the roller crimper technology, which kills the cover crop at enthesis, leaving surface mulch to plant into. Many of these studies have involved several different varieties of cover crops, with both field crops and vegetables. A lot of the research has been carried out by the Rodale Institute here, and many of our colleagues from Europe have presented earlier at the Organic Symposium about their research with no-till. Because we were working together with the Community and Regional Food Systems Project, they were interested in looking at no-till to incorporate organic matter and as a weed control strategy in urban agriculture to increase restoration of urban soils and to increase urban food security, as well as incorporate cover cropping into the relatively short growing season of the upper Midwest. So our methods, basically, We grew false-seeded cover crops. Rather than roll crimp, we had a relatively small plot, so we mowed at enthesis when the plant is putting more energy into seed head formation than root growth, but before the seed is fully mature, so as to stop the cover crop from competing with the vegetable crops. We planted the crops into the mulch, tilling a 9-inch strip-tilled row almost immediately after killing the cover crop, which may not have been the best plan. Many previous researchers have suggested leaving a 2-week window after killing the cover crop to plant. We fertilized once with pelleted chicken manure, and we irrigated with a drip tape system. We wanted to know from this study if cover crop-based reduced tillage was effective at suppressing weeds, if it was efficient in terms of labor time as a management technique, and it was comparably effective to other techniques at producing high-quality produce. It was a 2-year trial. It was conducted at the West Madison Research Station on not continuously on the same piece of land. It was moved the second year. There were 4 reps per year in a randomized split-block design, with each of the 3 vegetable crops that we grew within each block, 5 treatment covering treatments, 3 vegetable crops, and each plot was 300 square feet with 2 20-foot rows of vegetables. So our treatments were 1 fall-seeded winter wheat cover crop at a rate of about 180 pounds of seed per acre. We had cereal rye at about 168 pounds of seed per acre. Initially, we had meant to have a rye vetch plot, although the vetch did not germinate well and did not survive the winter well. So we end up effectively with two cereal rye plots. The vetch plot we had originally planned on, we ended up replacing with an oat straw mulch as a part of positive control. It was approximately 1.4 kilograms of straw, or 42 40-pound bales of straw for each 300-acre plot, or 300-square-foot plot, sorry. And of course, bare ground negative control we cultivated with hand tools. We chose three fairly common varieties of vegetable crops grown by organic farmers in Wisconsin. There was about 30-inch row spacing between each row of crops, with peppers at about 18 inches apart, the snap beans at about three plants for every foot, and the red Lesotho potatoes were at about a foot apart. Unfortunately, because the cover crop was in the way, we did not hill the potatoes, and I was concerned that we would see a lot of greening. Although we did not experience a lot of crop loss from the green, we did find that the mulch was a good habitat for rodents that took little bites out of a lot of our potatoes. Throughout the season, well, at the beginning of the season, we measured cover crop density and biomass, taking measurements with a 1/8 square meter quadrat and drawing the samples. We took five measurements of weed density and biomass from beginning to end of the season, and three measurements of cultivation time by our field crew. And then we took measurements of yield and quality based on a sampling of vegetables from each harvest, as well as weight of total marketable versus unmarketable produce. As you can see, the initial cover crop was a little bit over 1 kilogram per square meter for both the rye and the wheat, although the wheat showed a lot more variability in cover density. The weed density before management was a lot heavier in the control plots, although the management time tended to be far quicker in the control plots, as we could go through with our scuffle hose, whereas if the rye or the wheat didn't have a dense enough cover, it took a lot more time to go and hand weed, particularly along the edges of between the where the mulch was and the crops were. The yield of peppers was fairly comparable between the rye and the control plot in the first year. The wheat, not having as good a cover, we saw quite a bit less. In the first year, the straw, because we could control the distribution and density of the straw on the plot, we were able to see a lot better yield. In the second year, unfortunately, we had a fair amount of oat seed that was still viable in our straw mulch, so we saw some competition and lesser yields. And the control plot still seemed to do better than the mulch trials. As far as beans, the beans tended to do a lot better than the mulch trials. They're a fairly fast and growing early season crop, and I was concerned that a lot of the nutrients were locked up in the mulch rather than being available to the plants, so that they were uncompetitive. The potatoes, we saw a lot of variability, although in the first year there was a fairly good canopy cover by the potatoes towards the end of the season, so besides the mulch, they were able to outcompete weeds. Although in the second year, we saw not quite as good a canopy cover towards the end of the season, and not quite as good end of season mulch cover, so we saw a lot better results in the control plots. Inclusion, we found that managing mulch plots took a lot longer than control plots, mostly because they did not form a consistent and thick enough cover. The rye was fairly good at suppressing weeds, although the wheat was not due to poor density, and the vegetable yield in the rye plots was at best equal to but mostly variable and lower than the control plots. So I'd like to see, based on this study, what the effect is of the nutrients being locked up in the mulch through most of the season, and if that was the reason that we saw lesser yields. There's been some study that rye has a allelopathic effect on neighboring plants, and because we planted directly after we killed the rye rather than wait 2 weeks, if this had an impact. Are there particular varieties of these vegetables or other vegetable varieties, other kinds of vegetables that would work better in this system? Such as, I've seen some research with cucurbits that are able to form a fairly good canopy cover towards the end of the season as the mulch is degrading. We only did a two-year study, and it would be necessary, I feel, to do a longer-term study to assess the ecosystem service benefits that could potentially be gained from this method in terms of soil health, fertility, and moisture retention. Thank you.
Any questions from Mr. Vito?
Yeah. Yes. I would think that did occur, especially in the peppers. We could definitely see significant in terms of like the size of the plant, as well as the deepness of the color in the leaves, that there was a difference. I mean, I was not sure if that was the effect of coolness. There was definitely a much longer time that moisture was retained in those soils, so they didn't dry out, and yeah, they didn't warm up very quickly in the morning.
What variety of rye did you use for your cover crop, and how tall was it when you terminated?
I do not remember the variety right now. Let's see. I think it was about 5 feet when we terminated it. The beans were direct seeded, the peppers were transplanted, and the potatoes we just cut up tubers and planted.
Did you see any, I saw a lot of, in one of the slides it has some of the weeds, they were grassy weeds. Was that volunteer cover crop, or was that other weeds? Other grassy weed species?
We had pretty high weed pressure both years, and there was quite a bit of both grassy and broadleaf weeds. There was, in the first year, there was quite a bit more volunteer cover crop growing, and we took time management of the cover crops into our total weeding time.
And do you think on the potatoes, if you had tilled them up in the fall before planting the cover crops and then planted into the cover crop hills, could that work in your system, or would it not be an effective system?
I think that would be worth a try, for sure.
Okay. We have time for a couple quick more questions. We got one more minute, I think, before we gotta get going.
Yeah.
Do you have any idea of what your biomass was? Rye or wheat?
Okay, yeah. Initial cover crop density was about a little over 1 kilogram per square meter in the first year and a little bit under in the second year. Oh, the English units. No, I'm not sure.
So that should be enough to control weeds.
Yeah.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.